Now, I wonder how many languages he can speak. Because over the weekend, for the first time, more than 160 language teachers from schools and community groups got together to talk about how we encourage people to learn another language. And Kate Reitzenstein, the president of the WA Modern Language Teachers Association, joins me in the studio. Kate, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
How much did you like Regurgitator?
Loved it.
Brought
me back to my Murdoch days.
Okay. Well, I think that might be enough for King David to get through. But we are trying to be scientific, so we'll let you judge. 0437 922 720. What happened over the weekend? Because I sense it was quite important to gather all these people together.
That's correct. I'll just give you a bit of background about our association. The Modern Language Teachers Association is the peak professional body representing language teachers across all education sectors, across primary, secondary, tertiary contexts. And we provide a common voice for language teachers. We advocate for the profession and we provide support through professional learning resources and access to the latest research and information. But we have a conference every 2 years. That's pretty much what we always do, but this conference was really quite different in terms of the fact that traditionally we've always been involved with language teachers of the big six languages that are taught in mainstream schools, those being Chinese, French, German, Indonesian, Italian and Japanese. And we have several emerging languages coming through, such as Arabic and Spanish. But this year we have really broadened our base to also include community language teachers. And we also had input from Aboriginal language teachers at this conference for the very first time. So in the past, we've always been working in silos. And so it was really exciting to be all in the one space and share ideas and experiences.
Were you sharing also a common theme that seems to be suggesting that less and less of us are embracing other languages?
Absolutely. The theme of our conference this year was From Margins to Mainstream. And it basically really explored that issue that language learning is very undervalued in our society. And so we really explored that question of how we can challenge that monolingual mindset and spread word about the benefits of learning more than one language.
When I was going to school, and it's a familiar story of learning a bit of Italian in a hot demountable on a summer day, learning enough to know that when you went on holiday you could ask for an ice cream, but sort of shrugging one's shoulders to say, oh, how much does it matter? All these years later, we now travel to other parts of the world and know that people are speaking more and more English. And I wonder if that's made us lazier still, this belief that, oh, essentially, most people will be speaking English, will be able to get by. It really, really devalues what language is about, doesn't it?
That's right. And you've touched on a very important point that our world is certainly, we're becoming a lot more connected and we never know where languages are going to take us. One of the reasons why we should learn a language is beautifully articulated in the new West Australian curriculum, which has just been released a month ago. And as you were saying, one of the objectives is to gain important communication skills so that you can go to that country or engage in a community and use it. Mm. However, even if a student never goes on to actually learning that language, there are so many important reasons. When you learn a second language, you develop an intercultural understanding and you develop a capability to actively engage with other cultures.
Yeah.
You also develop an awareness about the mechanics of language. So it helps us to become aware and learn about our first language or mother tongue. So, and this came out really strongly in the conference, second language teachers are literacy teachers. It's core business for us. And the new West Australian curriculum makes a very bold statement in its rationale, and it says, and I'll quote it, "Despite its status as a world language, a capability in English only is no longer sufficient. A bilingual or plurilingual capability is the norm in most parts of the world."
And it's not just about understanding the way other people speak. It's getting an insight into who they truly are culturally and intellectually, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we just see it from our framework. And that's pretty limiting too. Stay with me. Kate Reitzenstein is the WA President of the Modern Languages Teachers Association, 1300 222 720. Where are you at with languages? Did you learn them at school? Did you pursue them with keen interest. Did you feel encouraged? And Kate, what is it like to teach languages in this environment today? Money seems to be stripped from the education system, so we're sending a message that says we're not placing the value we should. What's it like to teach languages today?
Extremely tough.
Yeah.
Extremely tough because there isn't that shared understanding about what the benefits are, and I also have many more to share with you. Mm. But it's also extremely tough, particularly when you're working with colleagues and if your school leader is not behind you, is not on board. They're the ones making the decisions with a monolingual mindset. Mm. And one of our guest speakers was saying that many decisions are made with a traditional approach or an industrial model for language learning, that we're trying to sell languages to 14-year-old students saying it's really good for trade. 14-year-olds don't buy that.
Yeah.
So
what do you think is the key? How do we best introduce young people to language? And do we do that in primary school when their minds are open and just fantastic sponges?
Absolutely. I think the earlier learners start with the language, the better, and particularly in the really early years, pre-primary, kindergarten, year one and year two, it's all about language awareness and pure joy out of engaging with another language.
And when the kids are that age, it is about pure joy. It's not this is going to be really difficult, because I would think that is what people sense the study of language is.
Mm, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned I thought was interesting, you talked about the embracing of different languages, and Arabic and Spanish seen as two examples. Why those are significant examples of where you want to broaden further?
Well, I think with Arabic, it's definitely been because of immigration patterns, and we have more and more Arabic schools, Islamic schools in our community. With Spanish is like a sleeping language. There are so many French, particularly French teachers out there who can also teach Spanish, and a couple of schools are toying with the idea, and you see it, but the Spanish teachers have actually just formed a new Spanish Teachers Association. So it's so exciting to see these networks form some growth.
And we talk about those languages. We talk about the languages of our neighbours. We talk about the traditional European languages. But what about Indigenous language, the language that should be so profoundly important to us, because it is the story of us? And I know there are many, many languages there. Are we seeing an enthusiasm to try and develop some understanding of those languages?
Well, I can say that I saw that enthusiasm. I saw that flame being lit at the conference. We had one teacher who was not an Aboriginal language teacher get up and say, "I think we need to teach the language of the land, and from now on, I'm going to call Noongar the language of the land." And in the case of Aboriginal languages, which are rapidly becoming lost, this is a process which is known as linguicide.
Yes.
Their reclamation has been linked to improvements in wellbeing and health, reduction in suicide, and there's a fabulous academic at the University of South Australia, Gilad Zuckerman, whose work is his research is in this area. And so the process of reviving a language strengthens the people with their links to their heritage and cultural identity, and so there's an ethical reason why we need to be teaching Aboriginal languages.
Now, Kate, the argument has always been compelling. So what's the next thing? What's the next thing you as educators and language teachers need to hear from government and community about our willingness to embrace the importance of language?
I'd like to call out to our whole society that we need to be a plurilingual society. When we talk about multilingualism, what we really mean is plurilingualism. So multilingualism is defined by different groups working, coexisting together, but plurilingualism is essentially different community groups, language groups, interacting with each other. Do I have time to paint what a plurilingual picture looks like?
You do. Please do.
Okay, I'll tell you a bit of a story about my background. I'm a second-generation Australian. My father is German and my mother is Dutch, and they came out by ship as migrants in the 1950s. And they met at English classes at Cottesloe Primary School in the evening. And when mum, I think it was quite difficult for mum and dad because essentially my mother was bringing home the enemy, you know, to the family. So my father had to really work hard at really trying to understand the Dutch language, and both of them took the time to learn both languages. They decided to speak only English at home when they had their three daughters, which I think is a bit sad. I would have liked to have acquired three languages easily. Unfortunately, I had to learn German, really had to spend the time to learn it. But we did acquire certain phrases. So, for example, even though we were speaking English at home, we would all say, for example, at dinner time, "Komme jullie eten," which is Dutch for, "Food's ready, come and get it," or would use words like "Quatsch," which means, "Oh, that's stupid talk," which is German. And I have really fond memories of my two grandmothers who came out much later speaking, and they spoke very poor English, sitting side by side on a couch. And one would be speaking in Dutch with a bit of broken English, the other in German. But they would understand each other and they had this real fondness for each other. So you make ends meet. You do what you have to do. And so we grew up in this beautiful plurilingual environment. I then went on to live in Indonesia and adopted more cultural and language in the family. I'm now learning Noongar, and I've borrowed the word Jakal Nakal, which is the word for a galah. I just think it's a beautiful word, and three generations in our family use it. And it's no coincidence that we are also great travellers. It doesn't matter where we go in the world, we really connect to people, and I think that's what we want in society.
I think that's a compelling reason. Kate Risenstein, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very
much. She's the WA President of the Modern Language Teachers Association. The need for us to learn more, to understand better.